Stop 3. The Possenhofen Recreation Area. Leaving Paradise Behind. Our mother-in-law, Archduchess Sophie, remembers. In August 1853, I had high hopes that my son Franz Josef would soon choose his future bride. But no one at the time could have predicted that it would be my young niece, Sissy. We had planned to celebrate Franz's 23rd birthday in Bad Ischl and to invite a few relatives, including my sister and nieces from Bavaria. My son loved staying in that idyllic spa resort and was particularly fond of the hunting expeditions that took place there. He longed every year for a few days' relaxation in the countryside. After all, he had already started to govern the complex multi-ethnic state of Austria at the age of 18. Our great empire was home to more than 40 million inhabitants. Well, during those few days in Ischl, my Franzi was able to forget his duties for once. When, after their arrival, we met up on Famille for tea with my sister Ludovica and her two daughters, Helene and Elizabeth, or rather, Nene and Sissy. Aged 15, Sissy resembled a rosebud, opening up in rays of sunshine as she sat next to the Emperor. My son seemed to barely notice Nene, who was cross-eyed and altogether less striking, despite her more suitable 19 years. That evening, he waxed lyrical to me about the innocent charm of his cousin Sissy, who he claimed to be like a freshly opened almond, and to have soft eyes and lips like strawberries. He urged me to immediately test the waters with my sister Ludovica as to whether Elizabeth may have the courage to share his responsibilities with him and become his wife. Sissy, surprised and overwhelmed as she was, and aware that you can't say no to an emperor, is said to have confessed to her governess that she did in fact like him a lot, adding, if only he wasn't an emperor. On the very next day, Franz Josef danced the cotillon with this very young girl at the ball in honour of his birthday and presented Sissy with a bouquet of red roses, an unmistakable sign of engagement. My sister was extremely concerned that her daughter would be treated with forbearance. After all, she was barely out of the nursery. She was so young and inexperienced, and yet was to become empress. Ludovica did her best to prepare Sissy for her future role. Only a week later, they travelled back to Possenhofen. In the delightful lakeside surroundings, Elizabeth was to first enjoy the peace and quiet there, and then be prepared for the wedding and her future duties. A scholar in Austrian history gave her lessons several times a week, and I was promised that her knowledge of the French, Italian and Czech languages would soon improve. As we followed the extremely strict Spanish court etiquette, Elizabeth had to learn a lot about court protocol, as well as about courtly dance and conversation. In the meantime, slow progress was made on the trousseau, even though Franzi was constantly sending jewels and presents. Apparently, she was particularly happy about a parrot with roses. What a young thing she was! We were relieved to hear that a few dozen trunks with clothes had finally been packed. At any rate, my Franzi visited his Sissy once again 4 weeks before the wedding in Munich and went on an excursion to Possenhofen with her and her siblings. These were probably Elizabeth's last carefree days before she left to join us at the Hofburg in April 1854. 4 days later, with tears running down her cheeks, she entered Vienna in a golden glass wedding carriage drawn by 8 Lipizzaner horses, which was accompanied by gunfire, the tolling of bells, and cries of joy from the entire nation. In the presence of 40 bishops in the Augustinian church, she whispered a hesitant, yes, to the joyful emperor, who himself had no doubts about his decision. Sissy and Francis' marriage ensured that the less influential collateral line of Bavarian dukes was catapulted forthwith onto a stage of world affairs, and that the blissful, tranquil days and carefree existence in Sissy's paradise at Posse were a thing of the past. Among the poems composed by Elizabeth, posterity is privy to the following lines, which she noted down shortly after her arrival at the Hofburg in Vienna. I have woken in a prison, with my hands in chains. My longing is ever greater. Freedom, you have abandoned me.